from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two! Hanging out with you until noon on ESPN 1320. We'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Game one of the NBA Finals is tonight. Coverage begins at 4:30 right here on ESPN 1320. Let's get some keys to a Celtics victory. Actually, you know what? You do Celtics. I'll do Mavs and we'll alternate.
Okay.
Yeah, that plays?
Yeah, that works.
Okay, very good. James, give me the first key to victory for the Boston Celtics in game one of the 2024 NBA Finals.
I think giving Kristaps Porzingis a chance to settle in and to be a small role player in this first one, but to build him up, could pay huge dividends down the road. This is a guy who not only has history with Dallas, but who is, like, he is a unicorn. He's a very, very different player. And I think he could become, in this series, one of the most important pieces because of his ability to shoot from the outside.
Yep.
His ability to show up on the defensive end in rare cases, like, but in like a big way.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a moment where maybe Porzingis is able to turn a little bit of his legacy around. And so,
great point.
But I also think you need to like start slow. He's been out for a while.
Yeah, he's been out since like the second game of the playoffs, was it?
Yeah.
It's very, very early in the playoffs that he went down. Hasn't played since and is coming back from a calf injury. So it sounded like he might have come back if the Pacers series had gotten extended a couple of games.
Yeah.
So maybe he's been ready and he's just been working. But I'm with you, man. He's so important in this series, and Jason Timpf talked a lot about it yesterday, just the way he can kind of stretch defenses vertically and horizontally. It matters a ton, and I think when he comes in, if he starts or whatever it is, I don't know if he's going to be on a minutes restriction. I have no idea, but I think running a couple plays for him off the rip.
Okay,
just get him an open look, get him a couple open looks. He doesn't have to knock him down. He doesn't have to be a huge part of this, like you said, but I'd give him a couple of easy looks to start. Just to, if anything, get him back in the flow and get him back in the rhythm of an NBA basketball game.
Yeah, I think if this series does go deep, it goes 6-7 games, he could be one of the deciding factors in this series.
Yeah.
And you need to get him right. You need to get him right. And that's probably going to take a little build up.
Yeah, yeah, I'm right there with you. Key to victory number one for the Dallas Mavericks, make Jason Tatum dribble. I know that sounds super rudimentary, but when Jason Tatum is on the perimeter and has to put the ball on the deck and beat a defender and pull up or try and get to the rim through contact, I could just, that's the way you can limit him.
Yeah.
Is making him dribble the air out of the ball. And especially in a late game situation, that's not what they want to do. That's not where his strengths are as a player. So I think the more that you can make Jason Tatum be on the ball and dribbling,
yeah,
the easier chance you have of slowing Boston down and not letting Derek White get rolling, not letting Kristaps Porzingis get rolling, not letting Jaylen Brown get rolling. The more Jason Tatum dribbles, the better it is for the Mavs.
I totally agree, and he dribbles like Rudy Gay. Like, that guy dribbles so high.
It's crazy.
It is crazy to watch a superstar who dribbles way up here. Like, it's very different.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, loose handles, on occasion.
It's shocking how many games they lose where in crunch time he goes to drive and he just gets stripped.
Yeah.
He just gets poked away. It's nuts. Key number two to victory for the Boston Celtics, James Ham.
I don't know that I love that they switch everything all the time, and specifically against this team.
Mm-hmm.
If the switching becomes a problem, I want to know that they have something else that they can go to,
mm-hmm.
and that they can switch up and do some sort of man on, and that they can do it seamlessly, because Luka and Kyrie are so specific, like so good at what they do,
mm-hmm.
that if you even give them a little bit of space and switches, they're going to make you pay. And it doesn't matter how good you are. I could definitely see them trying to get Porzingis caught in a switch again and again and again, yep. against Luka and against Kyrie. And those guys just torch Porzingis.
Yep.
Or Horford.
Yep.
And I want to know that the Celtics have another like pitch.
Yeah. And somebody in the chatty house brought this up. I think it was PE time. It might've been somebody else, but PE time, you're going to get credit for this until further notice. Somebody said Luka plays at like a goat pace. He is so deliberate with the way, and I hope this is what they mean because I agree with it. The pace that he plays at,
mm-hmm.
makes it easier for me, to if you have a player you think can hang with Luka, whether it's Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, whoever, don't let that player leave Luka's hip pocket. Go get through a screen one time, because Luka is going to dissect whatever it is that you're doing to him.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually he's going to use his supercomputer basketball brain to figure out how to bludgeon that thing until you have to do something different.
Yeah.
So I think it's on the Celtics to have, you wrote down here, have another pitch.
Yeah.
And that's not have that other pitch once he's figured out what you're doing. Do just different things every time down the floor.
Yeah.
You have to. Because if you try the same thing over and over and over again, he's going to get 30.
He'll figure it out.
Yep. Every time.
It might take a little while, but he'll figure it out.
Yep. In that same vein, key number two for the Mavs, you got to get Luka going. And that is figuring out what the Celtics are doing to get the ball out of his hands or to get a specific defender on him and have curveballs ready to let him operate. Like, I think the Celtics are going to make him take tough shots. I think the Mavs are probably fine with that. But it can't be, hey, they're making Luka give up the ball and then he's just never getting it back.
Mm.
It can't be that from the Mavs.
If I'm the Celtics, especially with your two spectacular defending guards,
mm-hmm.
I am I'm hedging towards him the whole time. I'm throwing two guys at him. Trying to shock to get the ball out of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing that time and time and time again, but you can't lose him in rotations afterwards because he's going to torch you if you do.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I definitely think that the Celtics are going to they're going to try to make someone else beat them.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I don't think that they're going to do one of those things where you're like, okay, we're going to let Luka loose, but we're going to shut everybody else down. I don't think you can do that with this player.
No. No, because he's going to figure out how to get loose and also get teammates going.
Yeah, I don't think he can score like 120 by himself, but mm-hmm. I certainly would fear what he can do if you try to just go man on with him the whole time.
Yeah, and also, to that point, somebody we were talking about a lot earlier, Kyrie Irving is also on the Mavs.
Yeah.
So it's not super easy to go like, oh yeah, we're just going to let Luka cook and then we'll just shut down Kyrie. Like, no, that's not how that works.
Mm-mm.
Kyrie's way too good.
Well, it's two of the great shot makers
in
the world.
Yes.
Like, they just are great shot makers. Crazy stuff that they throw up there.
That's the underrated thing about the 2016 finals was Klay Thompson was playing incredible defense on Kyrie Irving.
Mm.
And Kyrie still got 40. Ridiculous. Just a ridiculous, ridiculous player, ridiculous shot maker. Number three for the Celtics.
For me, Tatum and Brown, they need to have their moments. They need to become Celtics legends right now. Like it, your time is now. It's not maybe next year, the year after. Like this is it. If you can't win right now, when you're by far the best team in basketball, when you have the most talent of any team in the league, mm-hmm. when you have more wins than anyone else in the league, and it wasn't even close, this should be your moment. You're playing a fifth seed,
mm-hmm.
right? This isn't like you're not playing the Denver Nuggets who you battled last year and lost. This is a fifth seed. It's a team that's got on a hot streak. It's a team that's had like matchup problems throughout mm-hmm. the playoffs for other teams. This is still your moment. You're the two stars on the team. You have to take this yep. thing by the horns and go win it. I mean, yep. that's it.
They didn't even make it to the finals last year.
Yeah.
They lost to the Heat.
Oh yeah, my bad.
But that's furthers your point. Like, okay, you've made it back now, but now you got to go get it done or yeah. else like none of this entire season matters.
Yeah, we're going to question who you are moving forward.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah. There's a lot at stake for the Tatum and Brown duo. And yeah, man, it has to be those guys.
Mm-hmm.
If the role players are going to play their parts and Derek White will have a big game here and Al Horford will have a big game there, like I get all that for sure. But it's got to be those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Number three for me. The Mavs need their bigs to stay involved.
Mm.
Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford have at various points been major, major keys to getting the Mavs to the finals. Their ability to protect the rim, their ability to, the phrase Jason Timpf brought up a million times yesterday, space vertically,
mm-hmm.
Get up over defenders, has been a big deal. Their ability to rebound, especially on the offensive end. They need to continue to be factors in this series where they're not getting played off the floor because Kristaps Porzingis is playing way out above the break.
Yep.
Whatever they have to do to keep those guys on the court and involved, they got to do, because I don't think there's a version of the Mavs that's good enough to beat the Celtics where Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford are non-factors.
Yeah, it's crazy how first of all, they're so similar as players. So you don't have a lot of variance if you're Dallas. I mean, one of them is better at defending the perimeter than the other, mm-hmm. for sure. But outside of that, they are truly rim runners. They're
yep.
disruptive forces around the rim. They're rebounders. Like, they have to do their job so well. And it's the way that Dallas is built, that this is a style of player that you need.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that, like, what would they look like if they had a little bit of variance there?
Yeah.
Like, a little bit something different. And that's where I think, again, the Celtics are going to be so, because it's not just Porzingis hitting threes. It's also Al Horford.
Yep.
I mean, that guy is going to knock down as many as you give him, and he's going to be a tough guy. He's going to push you around. He's, yep. you know, going to do a lot of what Kevon Looney did to Sabonis. He's just going to out-muscle some of these young guys, and yep. they need to show up big time. Yep.
Definitely. Got a prediction for game one?
I'm going Celtics.
I don't need a score. I just need
I'm going Celtics.
Yeah, I think the Celtics get game one because it's more mano a mano, and then the adjustments will start. Mm. And then I got questions. I think the Celtics get game one as well. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We got NBA Finals coming up on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James. I'm Kyle. That sound weird? Is that my headphones? It might just be my headphones. That's my headphones. Hey, before we get to good idea or bad idea, something we do every single day here on the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. I was watching Dodgers Pirates last night. Paul Skeens, rookie sensation for the Pirates, who pitched 12 minor league games, and they were like, "Ah, you're good. Get up here."
Oof.
And he's been electric. He's really good and was awesome again last night. Struck out Shohei Ohtani in Ohtani's first at bat against him. And then second time up, 3-2 pitch, goes 100 mile an hour fastball, a little bit up, a little bit in, and Ohtani tattooed it straight out center to straightaway center field. Incredible stuff. But Paul Skeens actually grew up in Southern California, an Angels fan, and was at Angel Stadium for Shohei Ohtani's pitching debut with the Angels.
Oh.
And now he's given up a tater to Shohei. I thought that was cool. That was a fun
That's
thing.
Fun.
Yeah. Really, really fun.
Yeah.
And then Ohtani in a second is a 98 mile an hour fastball, like up at his chest, like tippy top of the zone, and somehow got on top of it and pulled it for a base hit. Ridiculous hitter.
He is so incredibly ridiculous.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
Totally. That shouldn't happen. That was a perfectly placed fastball and just, nope, doesn't matter. Basically.
Yeah, yeah. He might be the Luka Doncic of Major League Baseball.
Yeah. I think I can rock with that, just in terms of
like his ability to do everything and be so different all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. We could do an hour on my nobody in any sport is Shohei take.
Oh.
Because baseball's so unique. Like there have been incredible two-way players in baseball before, as in like offense and defense.
Yeah.
There have been incredible two-way players in basketball, as in offense and defense, because you got to play both ends.
Yeah.
Pitching in baseball is just like an outlier thing.
Yeah, it's just
like
totally
it's just
different.
Its own thing over here. And the fact that he does both, just nobody's doing anything like that.
Yeah, it would be like a shot blocking guy who leads the league in shot blocking and rebounding, but also shoots like 45% from three.
Yeah, and leads the league in scoring. Yeah. It might be Wemby. It might just be Victor Wembanyama in 3 years.
Maybe. It might be.
all right, here we go. Good idea or bad idea. Three things happening in the news, and we decide if it's a good idea or bad idea. A little bit different format today, though. We're going to just talk about the Dan Hurley Lakers thing because it's such a fascinating thing going on with the Shams and Woj angle of it. But let's talk about the Dan Hurley idea just in general. So number one. Hiring Dan Hurley instead of J.J. Redick, would that be a good idea or a bad idea?
I think for the Lakers, it's a good idea.
I would agree.
Because first and foremost, he has proven that he can build a program. He is not only a tremendous coach, but he's also a coach's son. Mm-hmm. Like his dad is one of the greatest high school basketball coaches in the history of high school basketball. Like the Hurleys know what they're doing. They know the game of basketball really well. Can they have an edge to them? Can they be a little over the top? Yeah, sure. Intense, right? But this is a guy who has been waiting for this opportunity, and then the stage had to be big enough. He's just done everything you can do at the NCAA level at this point. He's built a winner, and I think it's something like the sort of the line that Woj used stood out to me. Mm-hmm. It's not just about the LeBron James, Anthony Davis era. It's the era that comes after that. Mm-hmm. And now you have to build a culture and you have to build like a system of winning. Now, whether he can transfer his college game to the pro game is going to be another question. Mm-hmm. But I would prefer that over a guy who just doesn't have the experience. So, I mean, again, Redick played in the NBA. He was a really solid NBA player. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean he's just going to walk in and know how to run a practice, know how to do all of the things that come to with being a head coach. And so I think it's a bit of a problem.
The J.J. Redick idea to me, again, he might still get hired. There's no final...
Yeah.
The reporting from Woj this morning on Dan Hurley was the Lakers are preparing to make him a massive offer.
Mm-hmm.
So... I think the J.J. Redick idea smacks of let's appease LeBron now because we have this very small window because he turns 40 in December and this is the guy he wants, so let's just go get that guy. Whereas the Dan Hurley idea is this is a really damn good basketball coach mm-hmm. who has been coaching and who can, Woj said it on ESPN on First Take this morning, it's building a program. He knows how to do that. He can do that. And the Lakers are trying to win now, but then Dan Hurley can do that while also building a program for the future.
Yeah.
And that's why that's a better idea.
Well, that and Dan Hurley was a very good basketball player at Seton Hall. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember watching him play. Of course, Bobby Hurley's brother. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows Bobby Hurley's tied to Sacramento. I think this is if you can get him to leave the college game, this could be a home run.
Yep, definitely. Number two, hiring a college coach for his first NBA job. Good idea or bad idea?
Well, see, this is where things get murky because a lot of times this does not work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think it's okay to do it. Yeah. Like there's going to be coaches that flame out, you know, mm-hmm. the Rick Pitinos of the world that just couldn't figure out how to translate it.
Yeah.
But I think you have to keep trying because I think Brad Stevens worked out pretty well.
Did all right.
There are some college coaches that do come in that actually play, that figure it out very quickly and are able to do this. So why not?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm fine with it as long as it's not, because to me, like, Dan Hurley can coach.
Yeah.
And it's that's pretty clear. Like, they've been talented. UConn has been incredibly talented the last couple of years for sure. But it's not to me a John Calipari thing where it's year in and year out, they're just bringing in guys who are going to be top five picks. Mm. And that's just,
yeah,
it's all talent based. Like, I think Dan Hurley can actually coach. So I think this is, in this instance, it's fine. I don't think college coaches are a monolith where it's a good idea or a bad idea to hire a guy out of college. It has to be the right guy.
Yeah.
And I think Dan Hurley would be a good hire for the Lakers. Last thing, mm-hmm. Good idea or bad idea. The reporting around this from Woj is that the Lakers are preparing to offer a massive contract to Dan Hurley. So I ask you, just in general, not with Dan Hurley specifically, but is it a good idea to give a quote-unquote massive contract to a head coach who has never been a head coach in the NBA before?
It's kind of just where the coaches has gone. Like, if you could have done this 2 years ago, you might have been able to get him for $5, $6 million a year. Mm-hmm. That's just not where we're at. Nope. I think it's going to break the bank. It's going to change the direction of what first-year coaches mm-hmm. could make. But I also think it's very specific. Like, this is a guy who's just rattling off wins at the NCAA level like crazy. Yep. Just keeps winning titles. And like
winning back-to-back titles in the one-and-done era is nuts.
Yeah, it is wild.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like he's proving what he can do. And so in order to get him out of the college game, you're probably going to have to pay the big money here, because mm-hmm. The college game, they're getting big money now. So yeah. It's not like he's walking away from, you know, nothing of a contract. He's been getting, he got re-upped last year, and he's probably going to get more money this year if he stays at UConn. But yeah, it's a little risky, all of this.
It definitely is, but I think it's a good idea if you think that this guy is going to be your coach for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Get that guy in the door, whatever it takes. If you are sold on this person as your coach, it doesn't count against the salary cap. And you're the Lakers.
You're the Lakers.
You're printing money, bro. Throw whatever coach you think is going to be great.
Yep.
Throw all the dollars at him. If it doesn't work out, it's a drop in the bucket. So, yeah, if you're the Lakers, throw all the money at a first-time head coach. But again, if you're any NBA team and you're convinced that this is your franchise head coach, you got to get him in the building.
Yeah.
No matter what it takes.
Support him the right way.
Yep.
Put the coaches around him. Yep. Give him a big budget and let him bring in the pro coaches that he needs to help his transition.
We'll have our official NBA Finals predictions coming up. We want to hear yours at 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Also in the chat, yes, get involved. What is your official NBA Finals prediction? I also want to circle back to some of the Shams and Woj stuff because we had to kind of cut that conversation short. So we'll talk about that as well. Media beef. The Cold War going on between Shams and Woj. We'll talk about that next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, my fams in the chatty house. Thanks. Preach. They're tapping in for the first time and didn't know that I was in Sacramento.
Oh, who's this?
I don't know. Just my fams.
Oh.
Said good to see that I landed here, yeah. September 5, I think, was our first show.
Yeah, we're getting close to
I was talking to somebody the other day about just kind of doing radio and, you know, my weird journey in this business and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, yeah, now, because this is my first opportunity to like host a show, that's what I do.
Yeah.
And I'd filled in some at 95.7, but I was primarily producer for the Midday Show. And I go, yeah, now that I've gotten to host, you know, I'm getting a chance to really do it. And now I've done like 50 shows.
No.
And then I was like, we've done way more than that.
It's a lot.
We've spent way more shows than 50.
Yeah.
And that was shocking to me. Because it feels like we've been doing this forever now, but it's also been less than a year and feels like we started yesterday.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Very odd.
I like podcasting. I've had a podcast for 13 years. Maybe there's like 6 months, 8 months, 10 months where I wasn't allowed to have a podcast at NBC, right? But outside of that, like 13 years. So I think I've done probably close to 1,000 podcasts.
Mm.
And that's a lot.
That's so many.
But radio, like we've done a lot of shows already.
We're doing podcasts 5 days a week,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, it's a lot.
1,000 podcasts is so many podcasts.
Yeah.
Chris and I have been doing Candlestick Chronicles for, this is to put into perspective how many 1,000 is. We've been doing Candlestick Chronicles since the end of I think December 2018 was when we first did our show.
Okay.
So that's 5.5 years.
Yeah.
5.5 years or so. And we have like religiously for the last 4+ doing like 2 or 3 shows a week.
Mm.
And we are over 600.
Yeah, it's a lot.
We are still 400 shy of 1,000.
That's crazy, though. Like, the King's Beat were over 200, but before that, like, the King's Insider podcast.
Were you just doing daily?
No. No. Like, I've never... No, I mean total, like, over... No, but I've been doing it for so long. Like, two podcasts, sometimes three podcasts a week, but, like, over the course of, like, 13 years. That's a lot of podcasts.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, the Cowbell Kingdom podcast.
Like
4.5 years.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, a lot of podcasts.
A lot of content out there. Subscribe to the Kings Beat, kingsbeat.com, and the Kings Beat podcast wherever you get your podcasts. That is James Hamm, Fox 40, Sean Cunningham, and Brendan Nunes of the Kings Beat. Shams and Woj, if you missed it earlier, we were discussing the back and forth, the ongoing Cold War between these two guys. And it's so interesting because we have Shams reporting that, hey, the Lakers are zeroing in on J.J. Redick as their head coach. That's what's going to happen. That happened on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Woj says nothing and then drops a Woj bomb this morning that Dan Hurley is the guy. He has been the guy. He was always going to be the guy, and they're preparing to offer him a massive contract because they want to build the program. They just think the world of him, and Dan Hurley is going to be the Lakers head coach if he accepts this offer from the Lakers. And, dude, I don't care that much, but I care about who the Lakers hire now because I want to see who's right.
Oh, yeah.
Between Shams and Woj. And then if Shams is wrong, I know we won't get a story on it, but I need some kind of ongoing discussion about what happened to Shams there.
Oh, we're going to get some of that. Like, I think we will. I think like Ethan Strauss or someone will do the whatever they can get behind the scenes. But even if it's just like flaming somebody about how this happened.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's two scenarios, right? And I will defer to you on kind of how this goes because you're the guy who reports. So there's two scenarios that are in my head here with how Shams, if Woj is right, how Shams could have gotten this wrong. There's the, he got bad info and reported bad info.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever that source was, now he may not use them again unless that source was like Rich Paul.
Yeah.
Because like, what is he going to not go to Clutch?
Oh no.
For info? Right. Like they could
his
tell him anything.
His Rolodex isn't changing.
Right. Yeah. He's right. Or the other scenario, the way this looks, again, not saying this is what happened, but again, I'm interested to kind of see where this goes, is did he get told like, hey, by somebody with Clutch or somebody with the Lakers or LeBron or whoever, hey, we would like J.J. Redick to be the coach. Can you put out there that the Lakers are zeroing in on him as the coach to kind of pressure them to go that way?
Yeah.
And again, I don't know. I don't know Shams' process. I don't know him. I don't. But if that's what went, I would love to know because this information merchant thing, because like you said, these guys aren't on the ground at NBA practices, you know, mining sources all the time and doing this and that. Like, no, they trade in information. That's what they do, and that's how they get these stories. But when Shams says a thing is going to happen, oh, that thing is going to happen.
Yeah.
And now it looks like Shams said a thing is going to happen that's not going to happen. So what went down?
Well, I think the most intriguing part about this is that Woj never said anything.
And zero words.
So the silence was just like, okay, what exactly is happening here?
Yes.
Because usually one of them will break the story, but the other one will have like maybe the details.
Yes.
Maybe they'll have like exactly how much money, like whatever it is. Like there again, there is some like fair sharing of what's happening in these situations, mm-hmm. as far as the information superhighway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's like a really, really crazy thing because if it turns out that J.J. Redick was never an option, that they weren't even considering him, which I don't know how we'll figure that, but there might be a way we figure that out.
Woj will probably report as much.
If that is true, that just is such a crazy thing for someone to just miss, like completely. So like, look, I've done this for a long time and you don't always have to love my reporting. I don't care one way or another. Mm-hmm. The trick is to not be wrong. Like the key to this game, some people think, is to be first all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the key. The key is to know what it is that you know,
mm-hmm.
and not be just flat out crazy wrong.
Yeah.
because that's where your like credibility takes like a major hit.
Yeah, right.
And so again, I don't like the aggregation game and how things that you say can be twisted and taken out of context. But like when we're sitting here riffing about, you know, what it would take to get Brandon Ingram and stuff, we're not reporting stuff. We're like breaking down how a deal could look, or like what we would do in a situation, or, you know, like the mechanics of a deal, or what a player would look like in the Kings. That's not reporting. That's us riffing on the radio about a topic.
That is opining.
Yes, right. But when we talk about like going into a major, major story, like we don't, you can't just be all kinds of wrong all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's tough. So,
nobody, the next time Shams reports a story, there's going to be jokes on the internet about like, oh, hey, got to wait and see.
Yeah.
But nobody's going to unfollow Shams because he's not a newsbreaker anymore.
No.
That's just kind of, he has built up enough credibility. But I do think it's so interesting because you said it. That's the core tenet of journalism, right? If you've ever taken a journalism class or you've gone to journalism school, the core tenet of journalism is it is better to be correct than first.
Yes.
Like that is always, and it has always been the case. And that goes back to, like, we're talking newspapers back in the late 1800s, where if you got a scoop, you were probably the only person with that scoop because there weren't 50 people covering the same beat. It was your thing. You were covering that town or that city or whatever it was, and so you just wanted to make sure that you got that story out first before the rival paper did, but you know you have it, and so you have time to like go through and search it, and then it's got to go to print. Mm-hmm. And it's all going to be out there. Like, okay, you're trying to beat somebody to print, but you have time to be right. But now in this instant information age, it's like, hey, you got to be right for sure, but also you can't always be second.
Yeah.
And it's eroding at that core journalism fundamental of it's better to be correct than first. Because in the social media age, if you're not first, then you're just copying the other guy, but in other people's eyes.
Yeah.
Even if Shams reports something and Woj goes confirming that X, Y, and Z happened. Like, well, nope, Shams is now winning the race.
Yeah.
And I find that so fascinating because you got to be first. But to your point, Shams wouldn't be Shams and Woj wouldn't be Woj if they were always wrong the first time they reported something.
No.
So it's still there, but it's just not quite as there. Like being first is now more, it's not the higher priority, but it is a higher priority than it used to be.
Yeah, to me, it's always wild too. Like being someone in a market, like you want to be first in market, and sometimes that can be the first to confirm something, right? So it goes out from Shams or it goes out from Woj or it goes out from like XYZ, like who knows, right?
It's going to be one of those two guys in the NBA.
Yeah, you want to be the like, you want to confirm it and you want to put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like people should understand there is never, ever, not even one time ever been a time where I have put out a tweet that says confirming this where I didn't actually have it, that it wasn't confirmed.
Of course.
And like, there's also this other layer that like Kyle and like Damian, like we have discussions here. Like you guys know that there's so much more information that we have, that guys like I have, that other people like that I can't put out there, that I just can't.
Right. Cause like, you can't confirm it.
Well, it's even if I can confirm it, it can be so inflammatory one way that I would want to know so much more and be able, and it's really difficult. Some of these stories are so, they're difficult to get so much more on the story.
It's an expose, like magazine style article, not a quick tweet of like, hey, this happened.
Exactly, exactly. Plus, like, look, again, I would never report something that I did not have confirmed 100%. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's one person, sometimes it's two people. There are certain things that you don't need like three people to confirm.
Mm-hmm.
But like there is a standard that me as a journalist, I keep always at all times.
You have to.
Yeah.
And that's where, that's again, that's why I think the Shams aspect of this is so incredible.
Because somebody told him something. He didn't just come up with that.
Right. And I don't think, and to be, I mentioned this earlier, but I don't think this is the case. I don't think Shams got told something like, hey, put this out there for us as a favor. Mm. Be wrong as a favor.
No. He's not putting himself out there like that.
I can't, I cannot fathom that.
Yeah.
But then to your point, confirming means like Agent A says, hey, tells you or whoever, just tells reporter, Agent A comes and says, hey, XYZ News. And that reporter goes, oh, wow, that's interesting. Let me hit up source with team. Source with team says, ah, can't confirm it.
Yep.
Person goes, okay. Reporter goes, okay, well, it's kind of a lot. Let me hit up this other source in the league. Mm-hmm. That other source says, oh yeah, confirmed. You go, all right, I'm going to go to print with this.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Shum said, industry, team, league and industry sources confirm or say.
Mm-hmm.
Forget which word he used. But he did say league and industry sources, indicating like, yo, I did the legwork on this. I've asked around. I've got multiple people telling me this. So here's this.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he's going to wind up being right. And then we'll turn and go, hey, where did Woj get this wrong? Like, how did that happen? But for right now, he is saying with like force, this is the Lakers. It was, is, and will be Dan Hurley for the Lakers are going to offer him a massive contract. He's always been the guy. And that's how it's, this is what it is. Without calling out Shams directly, very indirectly by not mentioning him, not mentioning his other reporting, not mentioning JJ Redick, who works for ESPN, by the way.
Mm.
By not mentioning any of those names, like I said, it's just kind of that ongoing Cold War between those two guys. And it is endlessly fascinating to me.
Yeah, the original tweet, the Los Angeles Lakers are zeroing in on JJ Redick as a front runner for franchise's next head coach, league and industry sources say. Developing story. I think there are some interesting outs in this.
Oops.
It's a handoff time. Damian Barling. This is wild.
This is incredible. Oh, if I'm Shams, I'm furious. Shout out to Shams, who's like, I'm going to get me some news today. I'm going to get this this Minnesota Timberwolves ownership story out there. Oh, he's got to be fuming at whoever he's got inside that office. Because with Dan Hurley, and we'll talk about this as the day goes on, but when you have a college coach, there's you're bordering on a point of no return. Mm-hmm. Once this is public and you're Dan Hurley, man, you have opened the flood. So like if this isn't like mm-hmm. very, very real, like 98% real, you've opened up the floodgates for a massive, massive issue with your university.
Yes.
Nothing good comes about of this for Dan Hurley and the University of Connecticut if he is not the Lakers head coach. This is bad, bad news for him, which leads me to believe he's smart enough to know that and know that this can only be out there if it's real. But man, the story from Adrian Wojnarowski this morning, not just the written story, but like, you know, his comments on SportsCenter and Get Up and
did
all those different
shows. Did you hear him on First Take?
Yeah. It's bizarre. It's like, it's almost sounds like they haven't talked yet, but like they kind of have, but they're pursuing a deal, but they don't know what the deal is. And it's like, oh my God, this is a mess.
But like James said,
this is a mess.
Shams reporting is like the Lakers are zeroing in on making JJ Redick the front runner. And now Woj, who was silent through that whole thing, mm-hmm. offered nothing, mm-hmm. is now like, Dan Hurley didn't say, despite other reports, didn't say JJ Redick. It was like, Dan Hurley is going to be, has always been the guy. They believe in him because of X, Y, and Z. They're going to offer him a massive contract. It's going to be Dan Hurley.
Woj hit Shams with the so-called beef with you-know-who. Not everyone will get that. You might not even get that, but it's a line from Notorious Thugs at the height of Biggie and Pac and all of that. Pac was F you, F Big, I F this, I did that to your wife, blah, 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 blah. And Big just said, so-called beef with you-know-who. and kept it moving. And Woj hit Shams with the equivalent of so-called beef with you-know-who. It was amazing. Mm. Absolutely amazing. I'd argue this, for me, this all started last night with your boy, Mark Stein.
Oh.
Mark Stein's Substack with Anthony Davis really likes James Borrega. There was another name. It's in my notes, but I can't remember who it was. There was another name that Mark Stein put out there that was like, wait a minute. Why are we talking about James
Isn't this thing done?
Who worked Shams? Like, what is this?
That's wild.
And then for all of that to be followed up with Adrian Wojnarowski talking about, no, it's Dan Hurley, the two-time NCAA champion for the Connecticut Huskies.
It's like, and the fact that he was so silent on everything until this morning leads me to believe that he was seeing all this like, hey, can I go public with this yet?
Mm-hmm.
Again, do you see, this is ridiculous. Like, I know, I just need to, and I'm guessing, like you said, he finally got the go-ahead from Dan Hurley to be like, yeah. Or confirmed by Dan Hurley to be like, yeah, put this out.
And now Shams,
or Dan Hurley's people,
has put a report out.
He did. Like, yeah, yeah, I found that hilarious. I read his thing on The Athletic.
Confirming.
So he has a story on The Athletic in which he does not acknowledge his previous tweet.
What?
He completely ignores the fact that he said J.J. Redick was going to be the front runner or whatever wording he used. And he just wrote, the Athletic story was the first thing I saw this morning. So I thought Shams had it. And it wasn't until a handful of minutes later that I was like,
what?
Woj had it. So why did Shams write this story? And then I'm going through this. He didn't even acknowledge that he had this report. Nothing.
In this story, he does have that. Let me see. There is a line about. Oh, there is a line about J.J. Redick. Comes off the first round exit. I swear, I just had this. 2 seconds.
This has to be a new story then, because this couldn't have been the one that was up at
the
like
Lakers'
five this
search has centered on J.J. Redick, the ESPN broadcaster and former NBA player, and New Orleans Pelicans associate head coach James Borrego. Redick was the first candidate to have a face-to-face meeting with the Lakers 3 weeks ago, and
James is dying.
Borrego did an in-person interview with Lakers officials for a second time last week. Los Angeles fired Darvin Ham May 3rd.
But that's not describing the process.
Yeah.
Right.
Which everybody knows that already. That's not explaining what you said yesterday.
Yeah.
That's not actually
wild.
Boy, the price of being an NBA insider on that level is tough.
That's
brutal.
This is the same guy who said the big three was folding and then just never acknowledged it again.
And then he said there's no big three, it's just me.
No, wait, he did not say that.
Oh, different
that
thing.
Was definitely not him. No.
Oh, okay. My bad.
No, that's fine. No, it's definitely not him.
Yeah.
James, who was it?
What's that?
Who said, mother F the big three, it's just big me?
I can't remember.
Okay. It's good. It's Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, got it. Well, it's at least I'm consistent.
You are consistent. It's very good. It's very good. You dropped an amen in 227 reference yesterday. Like, you got a lifetime
pass.
That's
incredible.
Cookout. Oh, it's phenomenal.
Wow.
Phenomenal.
There you go.
And James knows his actors.
That was wrong before he was even born.
That's a shoot. Yeah, that's a true story. Come to think about it, do you know what amen or 227 are?
That's a negative, coach.
Okay.
Amen plays for the
Nope.
Pistons.
Nope. Nope.
Good pull.
That's a shoot?
That's true.
Okay.
This shoot means it's real.
I took the context
clues. Means it's real.
I just wanted to make sure, like, because I've heard you say that. No, I've heard you say that, and I could not, because again, context clues, it's like, oh, facts.
A shoot,
like,
that's a shoot means it's real, a work means it's fake. We talk in wrestling terms on our show.
Great. Cool. Yeah. Okay.
I'll get you caught up. No, you're
okay,
doing
yeah,
good.
No, please,
no you're
please,
doing
please,
good.
Please.
You're doing good.
Well, you said it like twice in that conversation with Kenny and Trista the other day, and you said, and I'm going, is he saying shoot?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I couldn't, and I don't watch wrestling, shoot. So I don't have, but I got the context clues to understand what it meant.
It's facts. It's true.
Okay. Yeah.
True.
NBA Finals prediction?
I don't like predicting stuff, but
perfect.
I mean,
James?
I've had the Celtics all year.
Celtics 5.
Yeah, see, that's the part that people lose me with. I don't think it's five.
I think it's five.
Wow.
Man. I think the Celtics are going to steamroll them.
Wow.
My son said Celtics
six. I don't think that's going to happen. I would lean closer to that. I was having a car. Yeah, I was. I'm alone on this. So I don't think this. I think the Celtics are the best team in the league. I don't think it's particularly close. I think Dallas has been extraordinary. I think this is a fight.
Okay. We'll see. D'Lo and KC, what do you guys got coming up?
A lot more of this, that's for sure.
Can't wait.
Matt George, final hour of the show. It's going to be a fun day. KC's back in studio, so it'll be a good day.
D'Lo and KC coming up next. Me and James, the insider sponsored by Jiffy Lube, will be back tomorrow at 10. Until then, drink water and be nice to people.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.